Oh, Father, we bless you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that you will never forsake us. You'll never leave us, Lord. We thank you for your word, because your word is forever settled in heaven. Your word is the final authority. We praise you for it, Lord. We watch over your word to perform it, Father. That word is a light unto us. It's health unto all our whole flesh. And we come tonight, Lord, to glorify you. We don't come to boast in but one thing except you and your grace and your mercy, Lord. I ask you for a special anointing for everybody here tonight from your holy word. And, Lord, that it would perform a great and mighty work in every one of them. Of us, Lord, and I pray, God, for repentance, and I pray, God, for that this word would be a mirror to our hearts, that everything that's contrary to your word, repentance would come, Father. Boy, I pray, Lord, that our hearts would be purified, and I pray, God, that healing and deliverance would be manifested all over this conference call and everybody in it, Lord, that needs it. And I would pray, Lord, that you would confirm your word. And I thank you, Father, that you do confirm it. And I pray, Lord Jesus, that you would disarm the rulers and authorities and make a public display of them having made a triumph over them in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I separate and expose in the name of Jesus all the works of darkness, all religious traditions, all religious spirits on this conference call, separated. And sealed by the blood and bound every stronghold. Sealed by the blood and bound in the name of Jesus. And I renounce every work of the spirit of harlotry, doubt, unbelief, error of confusion, all the works of destruction, tiredness, fatigue, exhaustion. In the name of Jesus. Mind wandering, mind binding, distraction spirits. Right now I take authority over all the religious spirits. Spirits that are in this conference call, in the name of Jesus, you're sealed by the blood of Jesus and you're bound. And I break your authority and bring you under our authority in the name of Jesus. And all that walk under you are sealed and bound in the name of Jesus. You're removed from this conference call and you're removed from each person in the name of Jesus. We hold the word and the blood of Jesus as the hedge of protection around each one of us in Jesus' name. And Father, we thank you that tonight's going to be an awesome night with you. In the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, I feel your anointing already and I praise you for it, Father. Thank you, Lord. Amen. All right. Whoo, come on, Jesus. All right, anybody got any prayer requests? Because I'm telling you, God's going to answer them tonight. Any prayer requests? None at all? Well, Father, I just thank you that tonight is the night, Lord. Tonight is the night that everybody gets set free, Father. I believe that because your word declares it, Lord, that when we pray and we believe what we pray, Lord, that it's going to happen. And I thank you, Lord, that we're free from all sicknesses. We're free from all that are bound by Satan. We set them free in the name of Jesus, Father. And we thank you, Lord, that tonight's going to be an awesome night in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, y'all. Y'all need some prayer now. Does anybody need any prayer or would like to pray about somebody?
Hey, Michael.
Hey, Jackie.
If you would pray, please. I listed some more things that were my husband's on Craigslist, and I'm just believing that the Lord is going to sell them. I actually was believing today was going to be the day, but I'm still waiting for the replies to come in. So if you would just pray for favor of the Father upon that for me, please.
All right, Father, we thank you that your hand is upon everything that Jackie's trying to sell. And, Lord, she's going to get top dollar for what she needs, Lord. And we praise you for it, Father, that this is going to be a quick work, Lord. And we praise your holy name, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, that your hedge of protection is around Jackie, that it's not going to be any kind of a scam going on And, Lord, we thank you that everything she sells is going to be for cash and cash money only. And we praise you, Father, for it. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. You believe that, Jackie?
Yes, sir, I do. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Thank you, Father. Amen.
Amen.
And Michael?
Hey, Judy.
Yeah, I just had an urgent prayer request from Kathleen Missmore over in Brazil. She says, I'm just going to read what she sent in a text. She said, sad news, please pray. Urgent prayer request, pray for the church in India. Burned down 20 churches last night. Tonight, want to destroy more than 200 churches in Olisa Bang, Olisa Bang province. They want to kill 200 missionaries within the next 24 hours. All Christians are hiding in villages. Pray for them and send this message to all Christians you know. Ask God to have mercy on our brothers and sisters in India. When you receive, let's see, it just says to send it to people. When you please pray for the 22 Christian missionary families sentenced to be executed by Islam in Afghanistan. I don't know when that's supposed to be, when they're supposed to be executed. And she says, please tell as many people as you can to pray for these people in India.
Amen. Well, let's all do. Let's all hook our faith together for God's chosen. Father, we thank you that your hedge of protection is around every chosen member of your kingdom, Lord. And we thank you all across the world, in India, in Afghanistan, in all the Middle East, Lord, in all in Africa, Lord. We thank you that your hedge of protection is around about every Christian, Lord. And those, Lord, we just ask that you save your chosen, Father, that you hide them from the enemy, Father, in Jesus' name. And, Lord, we thank you that your will is going to be done in the name of Jesus. And, Father, we ask and we pray that this would be a milestone in the name, hearts of these Islamic and Hindu countries, Lord, that it would they would see that God is evident on every one of the Christians, Father, and that it would be a time of complete revival over there, Lord, and I thank you for it in Jesus' name. And I praise you, Father, for saving all of your chosen. I thank you, Lord, for protecting them. We pray a hedge of protection around them that the enemy cannot penetrate in the name of Jesus. And, Father, we praise you that you've given each one of them that measure of faith that they need to believe, Lord, that you're going to take care of them in Jesus' name. We praise you, Lord, for all you're doing in every one of them, Lord. We know that the time is coming here in this country, too, Lord, that persecution is coming to the saints, Lord. And I ask, Lord, that you give us great and mighty and bold faith to believe what your word says about it, Lord, that we don't have to be under the curse, that we can walk in this walk. And, Lord, if we're just new and we don't have that kind of faith, Lord, I ask that you give it to us in the name of Jesus, Father, and get it to endure to the end, Father. And we thank you for it, Lord. We just know that when we're taken out of here, we're just a half a step away from heaven, Lord. And that's a good thing. And we praise you, Father, for that in Jesus' name. Lord, we don't have to go through it if we've got the faith to believe, Lord, because you'll hide us, you'll protect us, and you'll keep us. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. We thank you, Lord, for protecting all of those that are overseas, Lord, that are your chosen. Father, that you're going to put them in a place of safety, and you're going to protect them supernaturally if have to be. Translate them if have to be, Father. We thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. And all of God's people said amen because they believe.
Amen. Lord.
Thank you, Lord. All right. Anything else, Judy?
No, I just read it, exactly what she said, and just she said there's over 200 missionaries that they want to kill, and the Christians were all hiding in villages, and that just, you know, they need to have bold faith. So we'll just pray that they have the bold faith and that the Lord hides them.
Amen. Thank you,
Thank you,
Lord.
Father.
I had a real good friend of mine. Some of you may know of him, Curry Blake, out of Dallas. And the Lord had sent him over to Africa, and he was to go to a tribe there and preach the gospel. They had invited him over. And, of course, it was a Muslim country. I forget what country it was, but it was one that was pretty much Muslim. And when he landed, he got a taxi, and the two men were in the front. And the Lord supernaturally let him hear the conversation in Arabic that was going on between the two. And both of them were, they were talking about taking him out and stealing his money and killing him out there in the woods somewhere, or out there in the desert, everywhere it was. And the Lord told him, you know, this is what they're saying, or showed him what they were saying. And so he got boldness. The Lord gave him good boldness. And he told him, he said, in the name of Jesus, says, if you don't turn this car around and take me back to the airport, God's going to deal with you harshly. And boy, and they got scared. The fear of God went on them. And they turned that thing around and got him back to the at the airport and kicked him out and his bag too. They didn't steal any money. They didn't harm him. They just pulled him out of the cab and off they sped. And so that's the God we serve. So he can take care of anybody, can't he? He can take care of anybody. Praise God. All right. Anybody else got a prayer request? I remember one time, James Bogle, who was he's the one that taught me, actually, how to witness on the street with signs and wonders following. You know, I mean, through him, taught me that type of ministry, and I just fell in love with it, of course. But he was telling me about a time that the Lord told him to go in one of these back alleys, and he went back there, and there were four or five guys back there that were throwing dice, and it had a little money on the porch. And he said the Lord told him to just jump up on that porch there and start preaching the gospel. And he did. And these men were drinking, you know, and it was dangerous. It was a bad part of town. It was in the bad part of Memphis, actually. And there was one light in that alley, and those men were playing dice under that, and they had a bunch of money out there, a little money out there on the porch. And he said, I jumped up in there, and I started preaching the gospel, and then guys said they thought he was some kind of nut, you know. But I don't remember how many of them turned to Christ, but some of those men turned to Christ because of it, that boldness that the Lord had. God had prepared their hearts, you know, beforehand. And so when he jumped up there, God had done all the work. All he had to do was give him the gospel, and he gave him the gospel. And actually the Lord talked through him, you know, gave him the words to say and gave him the boldness to say it. And that there was one or two men that got saved because of it, and he was not harmed. In fact, they walked him out, you know. So, you know, God can do just about anything he wants to. Praise God. All right, anybody got any prayer requests?
Yeah, Michael?
Yeah, Judy?
Was somebody else talking?
You go ahead.
Okay, well,
I'll get back with Barry and Vanessa in just a second.
Okay. Well, I have a cousin that sent me a text and said she just found out she has type 2 diabetes, and I told her not to speak it and not to confess it, and I have sent her the book on tongues, and she's trying to reach out to God, and so, dear Heavenly Father, I bring up my cousin Bev to you tonight. She's speaking things that we don't even want to hear her speak, but we know that she's healed from the foundation of the earth, and when Jesus went to that cross, he took everything on that cross. And, Lord, we thank you that you did this for us and that she doesn't have this disease. And we thank you, Lord, and give her bold faith. Give her, let her believe. Give her, help her to believe more and more. She's fighting this battle, but she can win, Lord. She can win if she just trusts in you. And I thank you, Lord, for showing her what she needs to do. And I give you all the praise. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. We count it all done, Lord.
Yes.
In Jesus' name.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Father. Well, all right, Barry.
Yes, I have another request to sell a bunch of stuff I have for prayer for that. I've got a bunch of books that I've collected over the years that I don't need, and I've been wanting to take them to one place in Nashville, which is not that far from here to sell, but however I can do it. I've been just looking for a time to get it done and a way to do it and clear a bunch of stuff out of our house that we just don't need. So I would like prayers for that I can get that done.
All right. Well, let's all believe. Father, we thank you that everything that Barry takes to Nashville or whatever, however high he sells it, Lord, would sell real quick, and it would sell with the money that he needs, Father, and we thank you for that. We thank you, Lord, that you're going to bless him mightily. And we thank you, Lord, because we have bold faith to believe with Barry and Vanessa that he's going to make exactly him. And Father, we praise you and we glorify you for selling that for Barry at a price that's very pleasing to him and Vanessa in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father.
Thank
Amen.
You, Father. Amen.
I believe it.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Father.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right, anybody else? Well, all right. What about testimonies, praise reports? Hi, Albert.
Hey, Mike and everybody, how's it going?
Going good, brother, going good.
Amen. I try to, listen and be blessed for the majority of the time. And, I know everyone has different experiences that the Lord takes them on. I turned 60 years old last September, and most people, when they see me, they can't believe that I'm 60, but I am. They say, well, you don't look 60. Well, praise God. But anyway, I'd like to make a quick comment on the diabetes attacks. I was attacked with type 2 diabetes back in 1996. This year will make 20 years that I've been attacked with it. And most people say, well, you look perfectly healthy. And I am, because God's word is true. He says, by his stripes, I'm healed. But sometimes these attacks are relentless. I've dealt with 20 years of it, but I never claim it. I hear people all the time say, well, I have type 2 diabetes, or I have this, I have that. And if the Lord provides the opportunity for me to interject, then I say, well, now, I was attacked with diabetes, but I don't claim it. Do not claim it. And I even, I have a primary care physician, and he always gives me good reports. And there was a time there that back around 2012 from 2012-2014, I really thought that it was the end of my journey here on this earth. I thought it was checkout time. I was bedridden and house-ridden, and I currently weigh about 210 pounds, but I lost weight. I got down to like 139 pounds. didn't have an appetite, and I could walk from my front porch to my driveway to get in my car, and I'd have to sit there to catch my wind. And you probably remember this, Michael, because we've talked about it before on the conference call. I come to the end of myself. I said, Father, now, if it's something that I'm doing or something that I'm not doing that's displeasing to you, then just let me go to sleep and wake up with you. And I meant that. I meant that from the depths of my heart, because I suffered for like 2 years locked up, you know, well, not locked up, but just, you know, I mean, I literally thought that it was time for me to leave this earth. And I mean, because it was just ongoing. And when I came to the end of myself, well, I reached out to him because, you know, I was at the bottom. It was nothing. You know, sometimes we could think that, you know, well, I'll put it on me because I don't want to lay no guilt trip on anyone else. But it's been times I've thought that my mentality, my personality, or myself was being pleasing to God, but I was actually operating out of my carnality, and I didn't realize it. But when I went through that mortality experience, where I had to look my mortality in the eye, it caused me to recognize that, hey, I can't help God, you know, because Jesus said it's finished. And when I told Father that, just let me wake up and be with you, because, you know, I really didn't want to live anymore. Not like that. I'd email I have a son that's, he lives in North Carolina now. And I have a daughter that lives in Huntsville, Alabama. They're my two oldest kids. I had to email them the declaration page to my life insurance policy so that, you know, they have it to take care of my final expenses and all of that. And after I did that, I said, okay, well, I just want to wake up with you. And the next morning, everyone on this call, hear this. The next morning when I woke up, I felt better than I felt in 2 years. This was in 2014. I felt better than I felt since 2012. So these attacks that we get, no matter what it is, on our health, on our finances, of whatever they may be, relationships, they're all lies of Satan. But even while we're going through them, we have to know God's truth and confess God's truth and not confess those things while we're going through them. Because there was a time where I stopped taking my diabetic medicine, you know, metformin and glimepiride, and I stopped taking them. And I actually, in my flesh, my body was just going down, because see, my spirit man, you know, as scripture said, as the outward man decays, the spirit man renews day by day. My spirit man had renewed. You know, as well intentioned as I may have been back in those days, and maybe even now, you know, my carnal man was still dominating my life, but sometimes we gotta just go through these trials and tribulations to get to the point where our spirit man dominates our existence. And then as time goes on, I check my glucose now, and it's always in normal ranges. And sometimes I don't need to take anything, and I don't take it because my glucose is in normal range. But it's all about manifesting the spirit man, who is who we really are in Christ, and going through those trials that God takes us through so that we could realize his truth. And as long as I come to realize, as long as I'm operating out of my carnality, that's what Satan is keeping me tricked at. So I don't know if that makes any sense, but that's all I have.
Amen. You know, in our trials, his grace and his mercy sometimes oversteps even our faith. You know, our faith sometimes wanes, and I don't know how he does or why he does it, but that's for him to do. You know, that his grace takes over, and great things happens when that happens. I had a friend of mine that had diabetes and was taking insulin. I don't know that much about diabetes. I know it's a spirit and it's got to go. Anyway, she asked me to pray for her, and I asked her. I said, "Do you have the faith to believe that God's going to heal you?" She said, "Yeah." I said, "Okay, then we're going to pray and God's going to take that diabetes away from you." She didn't take any more insulin, and she felt better. She was healed, and she didn't take any more during that period of time. And I praise God that now later on, she back in it, got scared one time, and actually there was a lot happened, but she's back in faith and she's believing God. And I'm telling you, God has healed that woman, and she had been through a lot too. Because of unbelief is the reason she went through it. But she's got it now, and God gave her some bold and mighty big faith to believe. And she is on the road to recovery, and I praise God for her. Thank you, Lord. You know, it's that faith that keeps us out of the medicine closet with the doctors. You know, and doctors get a percentage of everything that they prescribe from the pharmaceuticals. My goodness, I wouldn't. For me, just me. That's just me. I'm not talking about y'all. I'm just talking about me. I've seen what doctors can do if they get you in the hospital. A lot of people don't walk out of there. They go in there for a hangnail and come out losing a foot or their life. We heard about a guy that right here in Tennessee got a hangnail, went in to get it cut out, and they did something wrong. And he had to go back 7 times. Now, that's ignorance gone to seed when they mess up 7 times. You know, almost took his leg. Wanted to take his leg at once, you know. And he finally got a little faith and said, "Nope, you ain't going to do that." And he finally got a little better, you know. But I'm telling you, you know, I'd rather have Dr. Jesus than any other doctor. That's who my home doctor is, as they say. He comes right into my house and takes care of me, and I praise God for it. Hey, has anybody else got a good testimony like Albert just had? Praise God.
I do.
Awesome.
I just want to preface it by saying that I've been coming back to this this verse in Psalm 51, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with a willing spirit. And I really need that. But I was thinking what you were telling Andrew about what you went through just drew up something in me, and it's just that joy of what God did for me on a couple of occasions with healing also. And, you know, sometimes we look so much at the things that are happening, we forget what these other things that God's done that are so powerful. And one of them that came to my mind years ago was when I used to have heart pains, and this was when I was, and I'm about the same age, I'm 61, but when I was about 20, I was having pains in my heart, and I sort of think I was having heart attacks, and that happened a lot of times, where it felt like someone was just taking my heart and squeezing it. And I'd been getting into learning, actually I was about 25, 26, and I'd been learning about walking by faith a little bit, had been recently filled with the Holy Spirit, and I just kept coming against that and speaking the word and just praying and praying in the Spirit and speaking the word whenever it happened. And it's been years since I've had that happen. You know, I just never did anything about it. I never, and really, in a lot of ways, I'm healthier than I was when I was young. There's another, even though there are some other things I'm still believing God for that, you know, it's been a long, long time, but it helps me. It just drew that up out of me, thanksgiving to God and that the joy of His salvation. Another thing is that I've lost track how many years ago this was. It's at least been 4 years, 5 years, something like that. I had just one day it happened that I had a spot appear before one of my eyes. I think it was my left eye first. And it was just there. It was in my field of vision. All, you know, it just stayed there once it came one day. And I started looking online, and it looked like it was a detached retina. And they suggest that you go right to a doctor if you think you have that, because you can get blind. And I just, you know, prayed and just stood on the word and confessed the word. And you know, I was just determined that I wasn't going to go to get medical help, because I was healed, and just kept, you know, casting the fear out of me. Later on, it happened with the other eye. I don't know. I think it maybe a year later. And it's been all those years. And now both of those eyes, I still have that spot that it follows me everywhere I look. I can see it in my field of vision. But I don't really notice it, because, you know, your brain sort of accommodates for things like that, and you don't really keep seeing them. Anytime I look, I mean, I can see them right now. They're floating around. But I just know that nothing's going to happen to my vision, and I'm believing for complete healing of my vision where I don't have to wear glasses. But that in itself is a salvation, I believe, because I could have gone blind. And from what I've been able to find out, I've checked several times, and it does seem like that's what happened. But it never happened what everyone said would happen, and that is that I would go blind, you know, and it's not going to happen. So I just praise God that we can stand like that on His word, that His word is truth and it's solid. And despite all the, you know, that I've messed up with, that he's faithful in upholding me by His word. So thank you, Father. Vanessa wants to say something.
Yeah. Well, I have actually had an abscess tooth this last week, and I had the intercessors pray for me, and it got a lot better, and so I'm thanking God for that. But I have had a hard time believing for healing, and so I was telling Barry, it's like I'm getting tested, and it's just a hard thing for me. But when you said a while back that it's God's grace sometimes, even when you don't have the faith, that He helps you, and I feel like that's what He did for me, and today I really wasn't even feeling anything at all. It's just, I'm just normal with my tooth. And so I just want to praise God for that. But it's amazing to think that he was, he's do that to me, because I don't feel like, you know, I have the right kind of faith. But I thank him anyway. So that's, and I wanted to thank everybody who prayed, if anybody out there was praying for me.
Well, amen. Well, not as though they were. That's all it is. And how do you do that? Well, you confess it with your mouth. I don't have a toothache in Jesus' name. I praise you, Father, that my tooth is healed because you healed it 2,000 years ago on the cross. And I thank you, Lord. It's what we speak out of our mouth that into unbelief.
Michael, you're breaking up. We can't hear you.
Oh, okay. Is this any better? All right, how's
yeah.
that?
Yeah, that's a lot better.
Okay, I'm sorry. Well, as I was saying, faith is calling the things that be not as though they were. We have, and the Lord tells us to confess him before men. And so when somebody asks you, well, last week you was having problems with a toothache. How's that toothache now? God healed it. I've been healed at the cross of Jesus. Jesus healed it. And when you start speaking those things, I know it sounds kind of silly when you do that and you still got pain in there, but that's what God wants us to do, because then that faith gets down in your heart. And then you start believing what you're saying, because you what you comes out of your mouth goes to your heart. So that's what you have to do. Diagnosed with something, you and somebody asks you what you got, well, that I had this, but God said that I don't. I'm believing God over and above them doctors, because in doctor practice, he always heals. He heals those who have the faith to believe, and he always gives us that measure of faith to believe, praise God. And that's why it is imperative that we speak that out of our mouth. We walk that out in faith. We do it. We call those things that are not as though they were. Well, I have a toothache, but God healed me. That's the thing that's not yet. But you call those things that are not as though they were. And so that's how we get into that faith business. And it's really, it's all in us. You know, that devil wants us to walk around with our head tucked between our legs and just submitting to him all the time. We ain't got to do that. We're not supposed to do that. We can bind him up in the name of Jesus and seal him away from us by the blood. We've all been healed by the blood of Jesus. We've all been set free by the blood of Jesus. And all we have to do, he says in Luke chapter 10 and verse 19, he's given us all authority. He's given us authority over all the power of the enemy. What's the enemy? Anything that comes against you. It don't make any difference if it's a headache or a footache. If it's diabetes or cancer, it makes no, never mind to the Lord. It's all, just like Vanessa was talking about, it is a trial of your faith. And what you do with it depends on if you get healed or not. You know, I understand. Look, he keeps some of us in trials for years, but we still believe in our faith to the end. And that's what he wants us to do. So just because you don't get healed immediately, working in your life, he is. You don't know what's going on inside your body. You don't know what he's trying to work out of you. You know what I'm talking about? You know, there might be something in there he's trying to work out of you. Okay, now, Michael, you need to go in this direction. You need to start confessing this, you know, and repent and go on and get up there. And, you know, and a little bit of it go away. And the next thing you know, a little bit more, until the next thing you know, you heal and you didn't know it. And that's the way God works sometimes. The way I've seen it on the streets a lot of times, if he doesn't heal immediately, Albert, I'm going to mute you, brother. doesn't heal you immediately, it'll be within 24 hours. In 24 hours, he'll heal you within 3 days. And if he doesn't heal you within 3 days, he's going to heal you. All you have to do is stay in faith to believe, and he's going to heal you. I guarantee you, it's worked. It always works when we have faith. And you show him that you're willing to do anything for him, to obey him. Give up any kind of idol that you have. Give up self, first of all. That's the first thing we have to do, is to give up self. Then we have to give up the world. Everything in the world. Ain't nothing more important than Jesus right now in this time we're in. I'm telling you, things are fixing to happen that's going to just explode all over the world. But we're going to be in faith. We're going to be believing what God has told us in his word. And I believe beyond a shadow of a doubt that everybody on this conference call is going to have enough faith to make it through. And not only that, you're going to have enough faith to bring a lot of people through. And that's what God wants. And I praise God that he's going to do it. We're fixing to be in a wonderful time in Christ. If you're in Christ and you have the faith, and we all do because he says he gave us all a measure of faith. And that measure of faith is all we need. That's all we need to walk that life that he wants us to walk. And that's in him. All we have to do is just keep in the word, keep seeking him, have a personal relationship. Do you know what a personal relationship is? That's getting in your closet and speaking to him and calling him holy and praising him, and then coming in and laying yourself before him and submitting yourself entirely to him. And then asking him these requests, because the requests that you have that are in his will, if you're in his will, you're going to get it. You are going to get them, because the word says it, and the word's not a liar. The devil's a liar. He'll tell you all the time, you ain't going to get nothing. You ain't going to get this. You're not going to get that. Come on, man. You know, the doctor said that you got this. Glory to God. You ain't going to get nothing. You better take that medicine. You better do this. You better do that. No, you ain't got to do nothing but listen to God. That's all we have to do, is listen to God. And when you listen to God, I guarantee you he's going to fly through there with color. And he's going to save his people. He's going to show himself strong in every one of us. And I believe that with all my heart. I believe out of this crowd here that God is going to show himself strong in every one of you. Because you're all seeking that spiritual life in Christ, that abiding in Christ that he wants us to be in. And you can't abide in Christ unless you're in the word and you're praying. Those two things, you must have a balanced spiritual life. And that balanced spiritual life is praying and reading and studying the word. Praying and reading and studying the word. Seeking God, reading and studying the word. And the Lord will even show you those new revelations in the word. Praise God. Amen. Boy, I guess I can come down off that soapbox now. Praise God. But no, I'm serious now. Confess your faith before men. Confess the Lord before men, and he will, I guarantee you, he'll heal you, he'll deliver you, and he'll set you free. Praise God. All right, anybody else got a testimony or a praise report? This is good. I'm glad we're getting these praise reports.
Michael?
Yeah. Matthew, go ahead, brother.
I have one. Praising Jesus for all that he's done in my life. I'm really deserving, but he is wonderful and amazing. About a few days ago, my wife had a dream. Well, the interpretation that I got from the dream was that I had a demon that I wasn't getting rid of. And so that morning, with God's grace, I cast out all the demons that I could think of that I might have, or that the Lord reminded me of. That morning, instantly, I felt free. I felt like this weight was off of me, like I haven't felt since I was a kid. And I just I still even feel free now, and just so happy and praising him all the time, and give God the glory. Thank you.
Oh, praise God. Yeah, it's an awesome freedom to get free of those silly devils that's bound us up for so many years. Praise God. All right. Thank you, Matt. Anybody else?
I think I gave my testimony once a while back about my high blood pressure, right? Everybody remembers that a little bit. I fought that for a long time. No?
Yeah, give us the Reader's Digest version.
All right. It came through my family, from my mom's side. She had high blood pressure, and so, of course, I picked it up later in life. And so there I was on the high blood pressure pills for like 10 years, and for a whole year on one set of pills I was on, I had a headache every day. I didn't even associate it with the high blood pressure pills. I just had a headache. And then one day I read about you can get headaches from this and that. And then when I started getting in, equating with UVM and hearing more about the testimonies, the healing and having faith, like we're talking about, and then all your sicknesses are from Satan or generational, and you can cast them off. You just have to have faith. But then at the same time, David would say, but, you know, we're not telling you just to quit taking your drugs and just, you know, unless you're doing this in the right way, not because you just want to do it. Do it because you have the faith for it and you're talking to God and, you know, do this properly. So I decided, well, you know, I can do that too. I'm just going to go by faith, you know. Even though I didn't have much faith then, I was trying to build up faith then. I just said, well, you know, if they can do it, I can do, kind of attitude. And so I just said, no, I'm not going to go, Lord, I'm not going to take these pills anymore. I'm done. And I quit taking my pills. And for like 3 weeks, it was like an intense battle. I would wake up and I would just feel real lightheaded sometimes, or I'd just feel the pressure in my head. And I just felt like real lousy, just felt terrible. Sometimes I felt like my whole head was going to pop off because the blood pressure is so high. But just kept rebuking it, didn't receive it, just kept on saying, no, I don't receive this, don't receive it. And so there's a few times I felt like, man, I just feel like I'm going to die. I just felt really bad. And then after about 3 weeks, all of a sudden, it just left. It just was gone. That's when I knew it was a demon at that point, because something like that, if it was really a serious health issue, I don't think it would just leave. It wouldn't just go. And that was it. I just had to fight. I had to stand my ground. And even though it was a long battle of, you know, just kind of going back and forth, do I have this, doubting and thinking, no, I don't. And it's kind of like you kind of get yourself built up for this battle, too, along with you're doing it. And then when it finally left and I realized, well, the Lord's true, that what they're saying is true. A lot of this stuff that's coming on us is all it's either genetic from demons or whatever. And even me recently, I remember about 4, 5, 6 months ago, I was driving home from work and all of a sudden I get this dizziness. And it was like going through a part of town that's not really nice. And I thought maybe there's some demons out here. So I just cast it off. And then it just kept on trying to come back on me. I kept on casting off. And even today, it tried to come on me this morning. I thought, man, I felt kind of tired. I get up early. I usually get up pretty early. And I felt kind of dizzy, kind of disoriented a little bit. But I'm not really associating that with dizziness. Sometimes I'm tired. I'm just kind of tired. And I thought, no, I've had enough of this. I just cast it off. I gave the glory to God. Still put my hands up. And it went away. And then I just said, Lord, give me something on this. Give me a verse. And he gave me Psalm 18, which I think you'll find is pretty, pretty comforting. It says, Lord, this is Psalm 18, starting at verse 2. The Lord is my rock and my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my high tower. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. The cords of death encompassed me, and the floods and godliness made me afraid. The cords of Sheol were around about me. The snares of death came upon me. In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried upon my God. And he heard my voice, and out of his temple, and my cry before him came to his ears. Then the earth shook and trembled. The foundations, also the mountains, quaked and were shaken because he was wroth. Then he went up smoke out of his nostrils and fire out of his mouth to devoured. Coals were kindled by it. He bowed the heavens and also came down. A thick darkness was under his feet, and he rode upon the cherubim and did fly. Yea, he soared high above the winds. He made darkness his hiding place, his pavilion around him, darkness of waters, thick clouds of skies. At the brightness before him, his thick clouds passed, hailstones and coals of fire. The Lord also thundered in the heavens, and the Most High uttered his voice, hailstones and coals of fire. He sent out his arrows and scattered them. Yea, the lightning's manifold discomforted them. Then the channels of waters appeared, and the foundations of the world were laid bare at thy rebuke, O Lord, at the blast of thy breath of thy nostrils. He sent from high. He took me. He drew me out of the many waters. He delivered me from my strong enemy and from them that hated me and from they who are too mighty for me. They came upon me in a day of my calamity, but the Lord was my stay. He brought me forth also into a large place. He also delivered me because he delighted in me. The Lord has rewarded me according to my righteousness. According to the cleanness of my hands hath he recompensed me. For I have kept the ways of the Lord and have not wickedly departed from my God. For all his ordinances were before me, and I put not away his statutes from me. I was also perfect with him, and he kept myself from my iniquity. Therefore, the Lord has recompensed me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands in his eyesight. With the merciful thou shalt show thyself merciful, with the perfect thou shalt show thyself perfect. With the pure thou shalt show thyself pure, with the perverse thou wilt show thyself forward. For thou wilt save the afflicted people, but the haughty eyes thou wilt bring down. For thou wilt light my lamp, Lord my God, will lighten my darkness. For by thee I will run upon the troop, and by my God do I leap over the wall. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a shield to all them that take refuge in him. For who is God, save the Lord, and who is my rock besides my God? The God that girdeth me up in strength and maketh my way perfect. He maketh my feet like hinds feet and setteth me upon my high places. And I'll stop. It just keeps going for a little longer. But anyways, it was a really good psalm to read. I think it's about deliverance. It's about him coming to our rescue when we continually strive to be with him and continue to stay in word, like Michael says, in prayer, have that constant desire for the Lord. He's going to hear our cries, and he's going to come and be our Savior and be our rock.
Right on.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Hey, Malcolm. Thank you, Father. That's good. That is good. Got a praise report or a testimony or something to glorify God.
Hey, Michael.
Hey, Jackie.
I have a testimony. Let's see. Lord, give me the right words to speak this so it gives you glory in Jesus' name. We've been praying for my family a lot lately, and there's been a lot of things going on in my family, and the Lord is answering prayers in so many different ways. There's a person I've been praying for, and I asked Michael to agree, and I actually called him for some counsel because I didn't know exactly how to handle the situation. And let's see, this person suffered a very bad loss, and it was devastating, and it was sudden. And he called me for counsel mostly, and just for love, just to love on him. And in doing so, I was praying for him and praying over him, and he was going down the wrong road and started drinking to take the pain away. And I told him, you know, that Christ was the only thing that could save him. And at that time, he confessed to me that he, which he's told me for years since he's been born, you know, I mean, he's in my family, but that he's been, a Christian. And when I was Catholic, I actually was his, quote, godmother. You know, Catholics believe in godmothers. And so I've talked to him a lot about the Lord. And when he was going through this, he confessed to me that he didn't even believe in God. And that was just really devastating to me. And I had a really hard time. And he would call me after this loss. We would talk for hours. He called, like, middle of the night, in the morning, just any time. He was having anxiety and panic attacks. He was drinking, not eating, and drinking heavily to the point of passing out. He's in another state, far from here, and I couldn't get there. And I remember praying. I was like, Lord, I can't save him. You have to be his savior. And, you know, I just prayed protection over him. And Michael counseled me and saying to just, every time I spoke to him, to just pray over him, no matter what. And one of two things will happen. He'll either come to Christ or he'll quit calling you. So I took that and I ran with it, and I just prayed with him. And each time, and he's like, oh, you know, Aunt Jackson, I don't know. You know, and he was just suffering so much. And the Lord took him to just a rock bottom place where he was just awakening in his own. He would wake up and he said he was real chilled. And here he was laying in his own waste and he had thrown up. He was to the point of just, I guess, drinking till he was unconscious. And a lot of times when I'd pray over him on the phone, I couldn't even understand a word he was saying. And nobody else in my family knew any of this was going on. He chose not to, you know, call his mom or call his dad. And he was always very close with my husband and I since when I met my husband. He was only, you know, my nephew was only 4 at the time, so he was extremely close our whole life. It was almost like he was our son. And I just kept witnessing to him. And one of the things I witnessed was, you know, how the Lord spoke through me at my husband's funeral. And he just showed himself so amazing and gave me so much strength that it just amazed all the people that were there when I just stood up and spoke about the Lord and not turning your back on the Father. And it was just the Holy Spirit moving through me. And I said, you know, to my nephew, you know, God can do this through me. You know, he's going to save you. You just have to cling on to him. And I'm still praying and believing for him. He's involved in the Masons. He's still not confessing, believing in God yet, but the miracles that are happening, he wasn't able to go to work. He was having panic and anxiety attacks, and he wasn't eating. This happened in the middle of January. He lost 40 pounds. I just kept praying over him, praying. Every time he would call, like I said, we talked for hours through the night, middle of the night, just whenever he needed me. By God's grace, I was able to help. And now he's back at work. He's joined a gym. He's working out every day. He's not drinking. Praise the Lord, he's not drinking at all. Not at all. He said he's sleeping 6 to 7 hours a night. Praise God. It's just a miracle. I remember when Michael prayed, he said, you know, we're going to believe for a miracle for this young man, and we're just going to believe. And I was like, okay, amen. So we've been praying, and he's coming home actually tomorrow, so I'll get to see him, and I can't wait to put my arms around him and give God the glory. And I'm still, you know, professing Christ in front of him, and I'm still believing that the Father is just drawing him, and because to take him from where he was to where he is now. And I know the gym and the workouts and that might be an idolship, but right now, it's a good place where he's at, because he's able to function. He's sleeping. He's not calling, you know, through the night anymore. He's, it's just amazing what God has done, and I just give him all the glory and praise. And I just can't wait to put my hands on him and lay my hands on him tomorrow and just pray over him. So thank you, Michael, so much. And I thank you, Father, for your grace and your mercy. And then I have some other family testimonies. My one brother, I don't know if you remember, a while back I had asked for prayer for him. Might have been last year sometime. I've been asking the Father to change the hearts of my family and to reach in deep and just grab a hold of them. And when I prayed all this last year, three of them had open heart surgery. And I was like, wow, Lord, I prayed for you to change their hearts, and you're literally changing their hearts. Like, it was amazing. I sort of felt I felt uneasy about how I prayed, and then this happened. But I know the Lord was doing it. And I had texted a prayer, just a praise prayer type thing, to a couple brothers in the Lord, and I also included my two natural brothers. My one brother who saved received it, and the two brothers in the Lord received it. My other brother texted back and said, please don't text me this stuff. I don't have time to look at this when I'm working. And I said, oh, okay, I'm sorry, and that's all I said. And then I lifted him up to the Lord and prayed, and this was in the morning. And by 6 o'clock that night, he had called me, and he said, I just want you to know that I'm just busy at work, and whenever I get a text like that, I can't just stop and look. And I thought it was an answer to prayer, because I thought, thank you, Lord. You know, you must have changed his heart some through the day that he felt convicted to call me and tell me, you know, the reason why he said that he didn't want to text. So I was praising God for that. And just since then, since last year, we've been talking a lot more. He's been calling me. He's actually been calling me to take me out to dinner a couple different times. Called me today and wants to take me out again this week. He's told me he loved me on the phone. So probably like a handful of times, which in all my years I can't remember him saying that. So the Lord is softening his heart, and I just praise him for that. And I also praise him in my family. There's a lot of evil that is being brought to light, and the Lord is just doing such a shaking. I know he's answering my prayers for each and every one of them. I know he's drawing them. And it was just, might have been yesterday when I called Michael for prayer about an altercation with another family member. I had, the Lord laid it on my heart to take something over and bless my family. And one of my family members, I'm trying to be a little bit vague in case my family listens, so I don't stir up any kind of emotions, but one of my family members was very rude immediately as I walked in. And I've been praying for this man for a long time. It's a bad relationship, you know, him and my sister. And I was praying with a brother in the Lord maybe last year, I don't know, even the year before, and the Lord gave him a word of knowledge and some wisdom and said that this man has a demon of hate for my sister and my family. And I'm like, wow. So I praise God because it gave me something to pray against. And when I went yesterday, he was just very unwelcoming, very harsh, and very stern. And I just felt like as soon as I went in, he refused, you know, what I was trying to give, and just said a bunch of mean things. And I didn't know what to do, and I was like, okay, Lord. And before I went, I prayed protection over myself and bound up all kind of spirits, and I thought, what's happening, Lord? And so I felt the Lord say, bail. I was like, well, okay. So I just stood up, and I was like, well, I'm going to leave, and you know, now's not a time to visit. And there happened to be a Catholic deacon there that was that walked in at the same time as me, and he said, "Oh, I hope it's not me." And I said, "No, sir, it's not you." I said, "It's just not a good time right now. You know, I feel like it's not the right time. I'll let you visit with my family, and I'll come back another time when it's freer." And I felt like the Lord gave me protection in that way by getting me out before, you know, with all the animosity I felt without something happening. So I just praise God for that, and thank you, everybody, for praying for my family, because the Lord is listening, and it's awesome. It's just so awesome. When I spoke to my sister before, a couple hours ago, her husband in the background said, "Tell your sister that soup she sent over was good, and we had it for lunch today, and we really enjoyed it." And I almost cried, because yesterday, if you would have heard him when I took it over, and the actions he did and the words he spoke, there was so much hate. The Lord just, we prayed and believed, and I kept praying for him, and the Lord just answered my prayer overnight. And for him to say it in the background, you know, he was saying, he was telling his wife, "Tell your sister, thank you so much for that. It was really good." And so I just praise God that he is changing hearts, and he's drawing my family, and it's just awesome. It's just awesome that he's bringing in all these people we're believing for in our household salvation promise. So amen. Thank you, Lord, for the words to speak. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, for answer to prayer. Praise you, Father. Lord, we just lift up the whole family of Jackie to you, and we all are going to hook our faith up with her. And, Father, we thank you that she's going to see a mighty miracle this year in her family. She's already seen a few, but, Lord, we just want to see the whole family coming into a love relationship with you and each other. And, Father, we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
I believe that.
I believe it too, brother.
Amen. Awesome. Praise God. I've had to mute a couple of you. To unmute, when I mute you, just hit ** on your phone. That's all you have to do is just hit **, and that'll unmute you, and you can talk. Praise God. Okay. Oh, that was good, Jackie. Thank you very much.
Amen, brother. Thank you, Lord. Thanks, everybody, for praying, and thank you, the prayer. Chris, please thank the prayer team, too, because I know you've been praying, brother, and I know that you've put it out to the prayer team when I've sent a text to you, so thank you so much for just your service to the Lord.
Amen.
From last night, too.
Oh, you prayed last night, amen. Thank you, Lord. If you would have heard it today, it's just instant changing, you know, the Lord softening. It's just so amazing. It's hard to explain it because you guys aren't hearing the whole thing as I'm trying to be cautious. And but trust me, it's just awesome.
Praise God. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Okay. Thank you, Jackie.
Thanks, brother.
All right, anybody else got a testimony, praise report, or just anything?
Michael?
Yes, sir, Barry.
I've just got a quick scripture that came to me for Jackie while she's talking, I think for all of us, but it just came to me. The people that sat in darkness saw a great light, and to them that sat in the region and shadow of death, to them did light spring up. Matthew 4:16.
Ooh, amen. I receive that. Don't you, Jackie?
Amen. Thank you, brother. It's awesome.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. I know everybody else does, too. We all got family members we've been praying for and friends. Thank you, Lord. Okay, anyone else got a testimony or a praise report or need prayer or anything?
I need prayer.
Okay, Marissa.
Needing prayer because today I found out I was pregnant, and the thing is, it was really unexpected. I just had my daughter last year, and I'm already high risk, And basically, I'm working on my third C-section and very complicated pregnancies. So me and my husband were kind of shocked because it took years and years to have my daughter that I just had last year. So it was just a big shock. And the past few days, my blood sugars have been super high, just like my last pregnancy again. Like, extremely high this time, though. Already, like, I'm just, like, feeling the pressure. And my pregnancy tests have all come out with really faint lines. And I'm just, like, full of fear right now. Like, okay, I'm going to, like, have a miscarriage or something. And, you know, it's really hard financially already. And since we live up on a mountain, it's going to be really difficult to go down to see a high-risk doctor because there's none up here. And it's like an hour drive down the mountain, just the mountain itself. So anyway, there's a whole bunch of things. I just wanted prayer. I just been freaking out a little too much.
Okay. All right. Well, since you're a child of God, we can pray these things off of you, and God's going to give you that measure of faith He's already given it. Would you be an easy pregnancy, and it's going to be delivered naturally. And Father, in the name of Jesus, we lift up Marissa to you, Lord, and we thank you for this new child that you have given her, Father. We thank you, a beautiful child, and Father, we thank you that you have totally healed Marissa and all the birthing things that go on in a woman's body. And Father, we thank you that it is normal from this point on. In Jesus' name, we command everything, every organ, every cell in her body to be healed in the name of Jesus. And we reverse all the things that the doctors have done in the past, and we count it as null and void, because she is healed and she is healthy in the night, and the baby is healthy, and she's going to carry this, and it's going to be a healthy baby and a healthy mama. And Father, we declare this and decree it, because your word says it. You took care of all that stuff 2,000 years ago. We don't, in Jesus' name, and I believe everybody in this right now, and that baby, that it's going to be a woman, this baby. Fear, you go away from her right now. In Jesus' name, from coming back on her. And we praise you, Father, that she is healed, delivered, and set free in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we thank you for a pretty, nice, bouncy baby. In Jesus' name, beautiful baby. In the name of Jesus. And Lord, we thank you for that. You believe that, Marissa?
Yes. I do.
Awesome.
You know, my last pregnancy, I joined our faith with you guys. And I don't know if it was you or somebody else, but it was just something I'll never forget, that you guys prayed over me and said, no matter what the doctors say, you're going to have a healthy baby, you know. And the whole pregnancy was so difficult, and the doctors continually told me, oh, your baby's going to die, or, you know, you have to do this, or, you know, that baby's going to die. Like, they kept telling me that over and over because of my blood sugars. And, but I just kept remembering what we prayed, and, my daughter was perfectly healthy, even though it was difficult. She had a little problem of low blood sugar, but she was healthy, like completely healthy. So, I mean, that's part of the reason why I called tonight, because I really believe that, God used you guys last time to help me through all that too. So,
Amen. Well, let's pray for that blood sugar to be right, too. In the name of Jesus, right now, we command that blood sugar in Marissa to be healed and be normal in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you, Lord, that Marissa doesn't have to put up with any of this stuff. And, Lord, we thank you that the doctors are going to be surprised the next time she goes in. And, Lord, I ask that you place it in her heart to think about a midwife, Father, because they're a whole lot cheaper and they're a whole lot better in many instances. And, Father, we praise you for that in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen. I believe that, Marissa.
Yeah.
Yeah, Marissa, when I, a year later after I had my blood pressure and I got over that, I had to go and see the doctor again for something, and they took my blood pressure and they said, oh, you got high blood pressure. I says, that can't be. I says, check it again. They checked it and they said, oh, it's normal. So the story is, no matter what they tell you, you don't have to receive it. Don't receive it. Say, no, it's not possible. I don't believe that. I don't receive that in the name of Jesus. Just keep on saying that in your head. You don't receive the bad report.
Amen. That's right. Awesome. Thank you, Lord, for a healthy baby and a healthy mama.
Hey, Michael, can I add something?
Well, yeah, Jackie, go right ahead.
May I? Thank you. Marissa, I just want to share something about a blood pressure, too. When years ago, actually, Brother David prayed for me over high blood pressure, and it was getting pretty high, and he gave me some wisdom that I think was pretty awesome. He said, well, just because that number is running high, or it's showing high, or the doctor's saying it high, does that mean, like, God didn't heal you just because the number's showing it that it's high? You know, like, meaning, like, because the number was coming back high and that the doctor was saying it was high, but does that mean, you know, negate what God already said? And, like, it just hit me pretty solid at that time, and I use that in a lot of areas now whenever I'm praying, like, if I see something, because it is by faith, but... you know, and the Lord kept me all that time, so I just praise him. So I hope that helps.
Yeah, it does. The whole time they thought...
You.
Thank you. They thought my baby was going to be huge or deformed or something, and the doctor with my daughter said, wow, I'm really surprised. Your baby is perfectly, like, normal in size. Like, this was through the whole pregnancy. She was just like, whoa. Like, she was just like... I was like, yeah, because me and my husband were just believing, like, what we prayed with you guys, and just, you know, so.
We've had that happen a number of times, Marissa, over the years here. We've prayed for women who the doctors have told, and everything turned out just fine because they believed. Praise God.
Yeah.
I remember one time, years and years ago, that I'd gotten a call from someone, and they wanted me to go to the hospital and pray for a newborn baby that the doctors had said had a hole in its heart, and they didn't expect this baby to be normal at all, you know, and it's going to have problems and the old bad report that they always give. So I went up, and it's a young couple, very young couple, and I asked them, I said, y'all believe the word of God? They said, yeah. I said, well, we're going to pray, and God's going to heal that baby. And we did. And they told the doctor to check that heart again, and there wasn't even a hole there. That hole had disappeared. That doctor was going around scratching his head. Couldn't figure it out. He done missed something. But yeah, he missed God's what he did. So God can do anything.
Yeah, with my first son, they had came in and told me that he had a problem with his heart, and they were going to keep doing tests or whatever, and me and my husband just immediately started praying, and they came back and said, nah, he didn't have nothing. So, yeah.
Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Well, you're going to be fine, girl.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lord.
Thanks.
Amen. All right. Anybody else got a comment or a testimony or a praise report?
I do.
Is that you, Sandy?
Yeah.
All right, girl. Go ahead.
Well, I don't remember. Was it last week? And boy, I just feel like a lot has happened. Was it last week when I made that decision that I wasn't going to do dialysis or any of that anymore?
Yep, that was last week.
Okay, well, when I was on a conference call and I was listening to you do the teaching, and I started to feel sick, real sick to my stomach, and I thought, well, I need to ask them to pray for me right now because I was feeling really sick. And I don't know what button I pushed, but it wasn't the unmute one, and I ended up hanging up, I started throwing up and throwing up and while the conference call was going on. Anyway, I really believe that I was throwing up the pharmakia, all those pills and all that stuff that that I was taking, because there was quite a few pills. And I praise God that I haven't taken any since then, and I'm not going to take any. And I just feel really good. Now, the enemy's been trying to come in with me with fear, and he's using pain. But even today, we called up Michael and David, and they prayed for us, or prayed for me, and that pain went away, and it left. And I just thank God that he's true to his word. His word says that we're healed, and all we have to do is believe. And for the sister that, when the fear starts to come in, I mean, I never noticed how many times the Lord tells us not to fear. And I think Missy today told me it was 365. Is that right, Michael?
Could be. I don't know. Could be.
Well, I just thought that was neat, because isn't that how many days of a year there is, 365? Is it?
Yeah, there's 365 days in a year.
Well, I just thought that was neat, Lord, that you gave me, we got a verse for every day of the week, every day of the year, telling us that we don't need to be in fear and not to fear. And I just think that's awesome. I don't know. I got excited about it today. But so I'm hoping that will encourage you, because, you know, the doctors are always going to give you a bad report. But they don't know how to give anyone, you know, give a good report. They don't know how, because they're just practicing physicians. But we know the great physician, and God's never going to come short of his word. And I'm so excited about that, because it doesn't matter what my body's going through or what lying circumstance or whatever lying symptom my body is going through. His word says I'm healed. I just need to stand and go through that and believe that I am healed. And, you know, pretty soon, whatever the enemy throws at me, I know that it's not going to be able to affect me, hurt me, or hinder me, because God is never going to fall short of his word. And I'm excited, because that's coming alive inside of me. For a while there, the enemy had beat me up so much with fear and with doubt that I was wavering. Not that I didn't think that God could do it, but did God really want to do it for me? And, you know, God is no respecter of person. And somewhere along the line, I must have forgotten about that. But now I know that I know it. And I'm just really excited, because I know that I'm healed. I know that it's going to be a testimony for him. And the people around me, there's no way that they're going to be able to deny that God is real, because of the awesome things that he's doing, not only in my life, but the people around. And I'm just really excited about that. You know, the people that used to pick me up to take me to dialysis out here, it's called Ethra. And I started to get close to some of those drivers, And but I, you know, I shared Christ with him, even though I was going to dialysis, and I was, you know, I have my foot amputated, and I was telling them how I believe that God's going to give me a new foot. And, you know, a lot of them said, oh, yeah, well, when you go to heaven, you're going to have a new body. I said, no, he's going to give it to me now when he's good and ready. I know that I'm going to have a foot. And they're like, wow, do you really believe that? And I said, yes. And then I said, you know, what's impossible for man is possible for God. All you have to do is believe. And if we don't put God in a box and take him at his word, and it's his word, not our word. It's his word that we're believing in. He's not going to let us fail. He's not going to, you know, he, like it says in the word, that he's not a man that he should lie. And God will never fall short of his word. He's going to go by his word. And so we have that to know, you know, to know that he's not going to come short of his word. We just have to believe. And it doesn't matter how long it takes. It doesn't matter when it takes. God is going to do it because he said he's going to do it. And I'm just excited. And I hope this encourages some of you, because I feel like my tongue is a little bit tongue-tied. But I'm just really excited on the things that I'm seeing that God's doing, not only with me, but the people around me. And I'm just excited. Anyway, I'm excited.
Amen. Yep, I'm encouraged too, Sandy. I'm really excited about you and everybody else. It's asked for prayer, because I believe God's going to do it. Well, in fact, I know he is. All we have to do is just do our little old part, and that's to confess him before men, just like you're doing there with those bus drivers and the doctors and all of that stuff. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Yep, I'm looking for that foot to come back most any time. Thank you, Lord. We've had many dreams about Sandy's leg coming back, or foot coming back. And I believe it, and we're going to see it, and it's going to be a time of rejoicing. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. And I believe Marissa's going to have a healthy baby, and she's going to have an easy, easy pregnancy. And I believe that Jackie's family is going to come in. They're going to come in with love, and they're going to be a close-knit family before it's all over. Praise God. And then the people that we prayed for with Judy, all those are going to be taken care of. And everybody that we've had, because God is good. And his grace and his mercy far exceeds anything that we could ever think is awesome. Thank you, Lord. I get fired up. Sandy, you get me fired up talking to them. Praise God. Okay, anybody else got any comments or testimonies or praise reports or prayer, would like prayer?
Michael?
Yeah, Barry, go ahead.
Scripture came to me for Marissa. My wife and I, we have four kids, and we had our first three closer together than we planned on, and we had them rapid fire. And I just, another side of this came to me, just, you know, thinking about this, that this kind of fear that can get into you, or that worry, you know, about the financial aspects and having the kids, you know, when you already have young children. And I just thought of Romans 8:28, you know, and we know that to them that love God, all things work together for good, even to them that are called according to his purpose. Thank you, Father.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. We've got another family here, the Saps. They've got six, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 kids right now. And she's due again. And these are, you know, they're in their early 40s, I guess. Late 30s, early 40s, something like that. I don't know. But, man, they're just rejoicing that they're having another one. Now, I'd be tearing my hair out, but it's just me. Praise God. I'll tell you what, I'm a kid lover. I love to play with the kids and joke around with them, and we just have a lot of fun. So the more the merrier. All right, anybody else got anything they'd like to share? Some of you might know who G.C. wrote a book called Remarkable Incidents in Modern Miracles Through Prayer and Faith. And I wanted to read an incident that happened to him. He was the guy that crawled up in a log and for 3 or 4 days, it might have been 10 days, I don't remember, but anyway, that the squirrels fed him through a knot hole. but this was, excuse me, this was one that I thought was interesting and how it came about. He said, I was once holding a meeting in Kentucky, home for the night, and about 2 o'clock, I heard a terrible racket downstairs. I arose, went to the head of the stairs to ascertain what was going on. Why, Brother Bevington, Lucy is dying with terrible cramps. Though I was a stranger to all of them, as that was my first night there, yet I went down and found Grandma rushing in and out to the smokehouse. Everybody in the house was up doing all they could to save the child's life. There she was, writhing in pain. 3 were trying to hold her, while 2 were trying to keep the hot cloth and the contents of Grandma's smokehouse on her. The mother stopped long enough to wring her hands in agony, saying, Brother Bevington, what can we do more than is being done? Husband is out in the woods after the horses to go for the doctor. Well, I said, Sister, if you'll all let her go and take all of those remedies off her, it may be that Jesus will heal her. Oh, Brother Bevington, she could not live 5 days. So as they were doing their best, said, Mister, did you ever see? I said, heard of such lights, but never saw one. No one never around here has done that way. And she looked so earnestly at me as though she had done her best. And the child was suffering unbearable pain. Well, I said, if you will strip her of those remedies and let go of her, you're going to see the power of God. Now, they all feared to venture on my suggestion and wanted me to help hold her down, which I declined to do. The mother said, why, brother, take our hands off her. She will plunge out of bed and kill herself, and we will be charged with murder. Well, I said, just do as you see fit, and I left the room. But Grandma followed me upstairs and said, don't leave us. Oh, she said, I would love to see Jesus heal her. And are you sure he will if we let her go? Well, I saw that they were so blind to the power of Jesus that I ventured further than I generally do and said, yes, Grandma, he will. But can't get at her now as there isn't room for him in that room. So Grandma went into the room and led me in and said, this man says that Jesus will heal her if we all get out of the way and take all rags and poultices off. At that, the mother let go of the child and wrung her hands and said, oh, I can't assume all this responsibility. Oh, it is too much for me. And all this while, there were 4 trying to hold the child down. I raised my hand, and the girl dropped down with eyes closed. The mother said, she's dead. I said, she's not dead, but she's quiet. I said, now remove all of those remedies. Grandma on the floor, as large as a half bushel. And I then asked all doubters to leave the room. None left. I said, do y'all believe that Jesus will heal this child? One spoke up and said, well, we none of us can say we do, but we will not be in your way in the least. We all would love to see Jesus manifest his healing power on this suffering child. So I took the oil, anointed her, prayed the prayer of faith, and in 20 minutes she was asleep. I went back to bed, and when the doctor reached there, he found her asleep and said there was nothing the matter with her. He did not leave any medicines as he had been in the habit of doing. And when the father came in, he rushed up to her, laid his hands on her, and said, "She's dead, doctor." The doctor laughed. He had never seen anyone healed. It was new to him. The father had quite a time to believe that the child was healed. If it had been more gradual, he probably would have more readily received it. The doctor went home, and then they all went to bed but the father. He had not struggled as the others had, so he remained up to call them all in a few minutes, as he would have it that she would not be healed. I went upstairs, walked the floor, bathed in tears of joy and in praise for what Jesus had done. And then I was called down to breakfast. I had pleaded that the child would get up of its own accord and go out to breakfast and eat a hearty meal. So when I entered the kitchen, there sat the child as well as ever. She jumped up and threw her arms around me and just hugged me good and laughed and cried. I told her that she ought to hug Jesus, as he was the one that healed her. "Well," she said, "I know he is, but you're the only one that has ever been around here with the faith that you have for healing." And after breakfast, Grandma said, "Brother," and she took me out to the smokehouse. Such a sight. Rafters loaded down with all sorts of remedies. Poor Grandma told me and weeks in the fall getting that great display of roots and herbs and leaves and barks, all for the keeping up of worn out or disabled bodies. She said, "Goodbye." And she looked up and said, "Now, Jesus, if you can heal Lucy, you can and will heal all the rest of us." She said, "Brother Bevington, I want you to get them all down, for I will make a bonfire of every one of them." I said, "Grandma, are you sure you can trust Jesus, as I won't be around here long?" She said, "Yes, sir. I have seen what I have never seen before, and I will believe and trust Jesus." I said, "Then you really want me to get them down?" "Yes, sir." "Well, hadn't we better see your son, the father of Lucy?" "Well, you can see him if you want to, but I assure you that he will not object." So I went out to the barn and said, "Your mother wants me to haul down that drugstore in the smokehouse and make a bonfire of them. What do you think about that?" So he was still up, and he found her out in the swing just laughing. She said, "Oh, Papa, I never felt as I now feel. I know that Jesus healed me." So he went back to the barn, and he told me to do as Grandma said. And boxes and hooks of that great store. And Lucy, with a radiant face, lighted the fire. We all had a blessed time at the bonfire. And I have seen them several times, but they say Grandma never gathered up any more remedies. Lucy was sound and well and went to school, which she had never been able to do before. Oh, hallelujah to our great physician. Praise God. You know, if we get out of the way of the Lord and allow him to be our physician, we won't have to worry about a thing. We just have to put our trust completely in him. Lay it all in his hand. Lay it at the cross. Put it at the cross, and he'll do. He'll follow through every time. It's that flesh in us that won't allow us to believe that God would do that for us. So we just need to get in the Word, study the Word about what it says about healing and deliverance, and he'll show you strong. He will. He's always done it for me. First time I got healed was a rotating cuff. And my brother was diagnosed about the same time. And we both had to go under the knife. And I had a spirit-filled man in a Christian bookstore came up to me and asked me if I needed a healing. And I said, "Yeah." And he wanted to pray for me. And I said, "Okay." And so he did. I got healed. And I had God heals. It wasn't, and it didn't cost me a nickel. Now, I don't know how much it cost my brother, but I'm telling you, they don't do those operations for free. And I didn't have to go through any kind of a cutting on my shoulder. All I had to do was sit there and believe God that he healed my back, too. I had a back that had been bad for a long time. I think it was hurt back when I was in high school. I was doing the rodeo circuit and got kicked by a horse. But, you know, through the years, I'd had all kinds of medicines. It wasn't real stout stuff, just stuff to get me through, you know, aspirin. They called it a little bit more stouter than aspirin, but it would help. So anyway, one afternoon we had gone up to Little Rock. I, as a new Christian, had gone up there, and some ladies and I were talking outside the door, waiting on the door to open up to go see the Raging Cajun, what's his name? Jesse Duplantis, and that was back in the 90s. Anyway, this one girl, she said, "Don't you believe God can heal?" I said, "Oh, yeah." She said, "Well, let me pray for your back." And she did, and God took that pain away from me, and I didn't have to take that medicine anymore. God, and I'm still healed to this day. I've never had a problem with my back, you know. So, yeah, God heals. We just have to put our trust in him. And he's healed my kids through the years many times. He's healed my wife many times. He's healed people around us many times. We had a Church of Christ family that lived across the street. Now, you know Church of Christ don't believe that God heals. But how many of you know that you'll call out and my wife, the next-door neighbor, husband, been really giving him a problem. He's always had a bad heart. And they want you to come over and pray for him. I said, "What?" They said, "Yeah." She said, "Yeah, they want you to come over and pray for him." So I said, "Okay." So I went over there and prayed for him. This man, he's a lot younger than I was. He was probably 20 years younger than I was at the time. And he was a chief fireman in Little Rock, one of the Little Rock fire departments. And he was the fire chief. And I said, "What's wrong?" He said, "Well, it's my heart." I said, "Well, listen, I'm going to pray for it, but you got to believe." I said, and I quoted the scriptures to him. I said, "The Lord told us in Mark 11:24, when you pray, you believe what you pray, you're going to have it. Now, we're going to pray, you're going to believe, and you're going to get your healing." He said, "I will." I said, "So, okay." So I prayed for him. I said, "It's done. Don't worry about it from this point on, because God's true to his word." And I went out and I started working over there. And 2 or 3 days later, he came over to the shop where I was. He'd come over quite often. We'd talk and while I was working or whatever, you know. And he said, "I just want to thank you for praying for me." He said, "I hadn't had a problem with that heart since then." I said, "Well, you're healed, Greg. You're healed." He said, "Yes, I am, in Jesus' name." So, anyway, he can even heal a Church of Christ unbeliever, you know. Praise God. That's what happens a lot of times when people get in. They knew about the healing ministry that we had at the time out in the streets because they'd heard we'd had a little Bible study, neighborhood Bible study, and I'd tell them the stories, you know. And he knew about it, and so that's what they called. They called on Jesus when the world can't help them. Praise God. And that's what he does for us. David has a study out called weakness. Well, there's something about us being weak and God being strong. You know, when we're at our weakest, that's when God's at his strongest. When we just give up trying to let the world heal us or deliver us, then that's when God can step in and do his work. And I praise God that he's done that in my life all more than that. And the people that we have prayed for, many, 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 I can't tell you how many people that have been blessed. Even now, even on the conference calls, we've had a lot of people healed and delivered because they believe. And that's all we have to do is just believe God, trust God, put our faith in him and not in man, not in the world, not in our flesh, but God. And God will come through for us ever. That's what he wants. He wants us to come to him just like a little baby, You know how a little baby does when your little baby Marissa, when they're young. They just believe you're going to do everything for them. When they get hungry, they know that you're going to feed them, and they know that you're going to cater to their every needs. And that's what God wants to do with us. He wants us to come to Him like a little baby, like a child, you know, believing that He's going to help us in everything that we do. And all He wants us to do is just believe. And praise God. I know He's going to show Himself strong in everybody that was prayed for tonight. Thank you, Lord. Amen. All right, anybody got anything they'd like to comment on or add? Got a testimony or a praise report? If some of you haven't ever heard of Bevington, G.C. Bevington, you can get it online. It's called Remarkable Incidents and Modern Miracles Through Prayer and Faith. And this guy, he lived in the late 1800s and early 1900s. And now he believed in push, or pray until something happens, you know. And that's just a second. There's the prayer of faith. When you just believe, when you pray, you're going to play. And you rest in that knowledge. And then there's the prayer of importunity. That means you just pray and you pray and you pray until you get the faith to believe that God's going to do it. And a lot of times he did when he was praying for healing. Somebody's healing, he would just pray and believe. But if he was praying for some type of incident, like somebody's salvation, he would pray for days and days and days and holler and just praise God and moan and groan and pray in the Spirit and walk and until he felt assured that God had done it. Now, that's a prayer of importunity. Now, the best kind of prayer is when you have group prayer, because when two or more are gathered together, y'all know, you got a lot of power there, man. You got a whole bunch of power there. One sends 1,000, two sends 10,000, don't it? Well, if you got a whole bunch of folk, so praise God. That's I like to pray in groups and allow God to do a mighty work, a quicker work, because God's here. As they all go up to Him, you know, I've told some of you about the time that Marilyn Oliver and was diagnosed with this strange disease that was going to take her life in 6 weeks, is what the doctors told her. And her husband Buddy called me, and he said, "Would you pray for her?" Said the Lord told me to tell you to pray for her. I said, all right. So we prayed for her, and I called some prayer warriors, some intercessors, and they started praying for her. And it was either the next day or 2 days after that, he called me, and I was at work, and I went out in the parking lot and talked with him. He said, "Michael, you won't believe what's happening." He said, "I'm in the hospital lobby here, but I have an open vision. I am in heaven. I see God on the throne," and he described the throne to me. He said, "It's just a wooden throne, but it's big, and God's sitting in it, and he's sitting up on the edge of it, and he's looking over down at earth." And he said, "These lights are coming up." He said, "I see lights coming up." He said, "They look like little sparkles of lights coming up." He said, wait a minute. He said, "It looks like little neon flowers coming up." And then he said, "Wait a minute, no, that's not." He said, "Oh my goodness." He said, "Michael, you won't believe this." He said, "It's a little light that says Maryland on them, and God is just smiling. He's capturing those lights, and He's smiling, you know." And she walked out of their hospital the next day. God completely gave him that open vision to show him and to build his faith up. And that man was on fire from God after that for a long time, until he died. God took him home. But I praise God for him. He was one of my best friends for a long time. Praise the Lord. That's what God does. He enjoys. He sees those prayers coming up as a light, and he's just a smiling. He said, I can see God smiling. I don't know how I can see him from behind him. He said, but I can see God smiling. Because he looks at those, he's reaching out and he's grabbing those lights that says Maryland on them. And he's smiling. I said, she's healed, brother. She's healed. And she walked out of that hospital the next day. Praise God. Okay, we're running out of time. Anybody got any prayer requests before we get out of here? Okay. Father, thank you so much. Thank you. Lord, for the things that you do for us, Father. You do everything for us if we just relinquish our hold on the world and relinquish our hold on how to do that. Do that work in us, Father. And we praise you, Lord, for doing just that. Freeing us up from self, freeing us up from the world where all we have is our eyes fixed on you, Jesus. And I thank you for that. Lord, be with us tonight. Give us a good night's sleep. Give us dreams and visions, Lord, of the things to come. And give us rest in our hearts because we know that we trust you for taking care of us and protecting us in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Amen. All right. Good night, saints. We love you. And God bless.